Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. Well, let's get into this. This is going to be good, 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 good. Oh, I love preaching on Pentecost Sunday. Woo-wee. Thank you, Lord. So why do you get so excited? Because, man, I got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Here's the question. Why are you not excited? Man, how can you not be excited about the Holy Spirit being alive and well, living on the inside of you, man? Lord, either you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, or you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, or you're looking too much at what's going on in the world and not very much at what's going on in the Bible. Man, but when I begin to read the Bible and I begin to pray and I spend time with the Holy Spirit, man, I can't help but start feeling better. Amen. Drinking from the well. Drinking from the well. Come on. You know what the problem is? Most people don't have a drinking problem. You need to have a spiritual drinking. Make that very clear. But you need to drink from the well. That's the Holy Spirit. We need to drink from Him and just allow Him to just flow through us and to be alive in us. You know, He's the one that got you saved. You couldn't have got saved if He didn't prod your heart to give your life to Christ. The Bible says no one comes to God unless the Holy Spirit bids them come. Amen? All right, well, let's get right into this. We got a lot of podcasts. Anybody know that? These YouTube channels and podcasts and the big phrase now, let's get into this. Let's get into this, you know. So let's get into this. All right, go to Acts chapter 1. Let's start right there. No, excuse me. Let's go to Luke chapter 24 first. Amen. Pentecost Sunday. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've noticed, but around here, we're not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't noticed, and I'm not doing my job very well, come on. We are not ashamed of the Holy Spirit around here. We're not ashamed of speaking in tongues. We are a born-again, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking church because we know it. We see it in the Bible, and we've seen the results of it. We've seen the fruit of it. Come on. We've seen the power that comes from it. Hallelujah. We don't do it just to be goofy or sound different. We do it because it's in the Bible. But the Bible says that if you do these, certain things are going to happen, and we're seeing those things happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Luke chapter 24, let me get over there myself. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus is speaking. I'm going to start in verse 44. It says, "And Jesus said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Must be fulfilled. Must be fulfilled, right? Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem. Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. Now look at verse 49. He says, and now, another translation says, and behold, which is a very strong word in the Greek language. It means like, dude, pay attention to this. This is going to be powerful. That's the KW translation of the Greek. All right. But anyway, it says, and now, or behold, I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. Right? Now, is he talking to believers or not? He is talking to believers here. So if he says, and now, behold, I tell you, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit hadn't been sent yet. So that means just getting born again is not being filled with the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. When you get born again, God comes, the Holy Spirit comes in, and he recreates the human spirit. Did you know your spirit don't get healed? It gets changed. You don't get healed in your spirit. Your spirit gets recreated. You had a spirit of death. You had a spirit of the world. You had a spirit of sin, right? Dead in your sins. But Jesus, when you invited Jesus to come in, he stepped in and completely recreated. He didn't heal it. So it's not like you have a healed sinful nature. No, he removed the sinful nature, right? He removed the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. In other words, a spirit that's pliable to the Word of God. So he says, so he recreates our human spirit when we're born again. But then he says, now there's something else now that you're born again. Did you know if you're not born again, you can't be filled with the Spirit? So it's not like all at the same time, right? Well, no, you have to get born again first. Now, 5 seconds later, you can receive the Holy Spirit. So it may seem like it all happened at the same time, like on the same day in that same moment. And that can happen for anybody here today. But what I'm saying is you got to be born again first. Now your spirit's been recreated. Now it's open to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People go to Bible college to hear stuff like this, people. Come on. Hallelujah. This is good teaching if I say so myself. Man, I'm blessed by it. Glory to God. But anyway, he says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from on high. Now, this is where all these people, now, if you're not familiar with this, you know, it's okay, but some people may be familiar with the idea of tarrying. In the old days, they used to call it tarrying, or we are tarrying for the Holy Spirit. Well, they had to tarry because the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. But now that the day of Pentecost has happened, now that the Holy Spirit has come, there is no tarrying. You don't have to wait. You don't have to pray for days on end to receive the Holy Spirit. All you got to do, did you have to wait and tarry for the Lord to save you? No, all you had to do is surrender, yield your heart to it, and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me from my unrighteousness. I believe that and thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And instantly, he recreated your human spirit. Just that quickly, we can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It can be just that quick. The reason it seems like it takes longer for some people is their head gets too much in the way. They're like, wait a minute, this is kind of a language I've never heard. This is kind of weird. This is weird sounds. What's up all with this? And they get their head in the way. Instead of just going, head, get out of the way. The Lord, Jesus said it's a promise of the Father. He said I can have it. The Holy Spirit's already come. I receive him now. In the name of Jesus. Now, you may not start as fluently as I am right now, but no baby starts off speaking fluent English. Right? So it may be just a little sound, but I'm telling you, man, glory to God. If you're here today and you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are going to pray for you at the end of the service. And man, God is going to touch you, and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to begin, I just declare, you're going to begin praying in the Holy Ghost. Because on the day of Pentecost, there was no waiting for it. Now, they waited there until he showed up, but once he showed up, party's on, baby. It turned into a party. We're going to read about it here in just a little bit. But here Jesus himself said, and now I send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. How many know God keeps his promises? All the promises of God in him are what? Yes. And amen. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Now go over to Acts chapter 1. Because there's what Jesus said about it. Joel said it was coming in the Old Testament. Jesus just told you this is about to happen. And then over in Acts chapter 1, it says in verse 4, it says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem. There's that word Jerusalem again. He sent them to Jerusalem, what? To receive the Holy Spirit. And he says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift he promised. There's that language again. To the gift he promised, as I told you before, John baptized with water. But in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He was talking about the day of Pentecost. He says, man, come on, guys. No, seriously, this is like right up on us. We're on the cusp of something great here. I'm telling you, in just a few days, you're going to be in this place called the upper room. And all of a sudden, there's going to be something happen. You're going to be up there. You're going to be praying. And you're going to be believing. And you're all going to be in one accord. And man, all of a sudden, something crazy, unprecedented, something that's never happened in the history of the world before is going to happen, and you are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Woo-wee! Glory to God. All right, let's get there. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, but so jump down to verse 8. Because they begin to argue about who's going to overtake the Romans and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus is like, enough of that. And in verse 8 he says, but you will receive power. That word power, there are different Greek words in the Bible for power. Exousia is authority. But then there's this word called dunamis, or dunamis, however you want to pronounce it. I call it dunamis. Dunamis, and it means like, that's where we get our word for dynamite. Dynamic in its working. Come on. It is dynamic power. You ain't got to worry about the you providing the power. The Holy Spirit's going to provide the power. You walk in God's authority, and the Holy Spirit's going to reinforce what you're doing. As we do things God's way, we're going to see God's results. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. He didn't say you would just go out and tell people that I love them. He said you will actually be my witnesses. There will be something about you that witnesses to the people. They won't have to wait for you to say something. They will see the way you live your life. That's why I told our young people today, be an example to all the believers. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. And allow that Holy Spirit to come in and completely renovate the apartment he just moved into. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians, it says, did you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Too many people are living with an empty apartment. They haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and live in that apartment. They have not allowed themselves to become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. They're born again. They're on their way to heaven. No worries. We'll see you when we get there. But I want power now. I want to see people healed now. I want to see God do amazing things now. Peter and John, when they went to the temple, they didn't do that in their own strength. They did that because they just came from the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. They just came from the day of Pentecost. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's go over to Acts chapter 2. Flip over a page. Let's read this beautiful account. It says, on the day of Pentecost, verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers, there it is again. They were believers before they were filled. All right? It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven. Everybody say sound. Sound. There was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. All those believers that were believers but previously unfilled have now been filled because the Holy Spirit came. Hallelujah. And he says, and they began to speak with tongues. You know, it's amazing how many churches today are ashamed of tongues. We want to keep it all hidden in a closet and don't want nobody to know. It's right there in the Bible. God didn't hide it in the Scriptures. It's right there. I'm not ashamed of it, neither should you be. Right? And he says, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability, or gave them the utterance, as one translation says. Now, if you read on down, let me read this a little bit in the New King James. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, cloven tongues, as of fire. And one sat on each of them. That means that all of us, we have our own Holy Spirit experience. We don't have to be together to do it. It's an individual thing. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound, everybody say sound. Sound. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Because everyone heard them speak in their own language. In other words, there's all these people, these 120, they're in the upper room. They just got filled with the Holy Spirit, and now they're speaking in tongues. So the people began to hear a sound, and it confused them. It's like, whoa. And then all of a sudden they realize all these people, they're all speaking in all of our foreign languages. but they're all Galileans. They don't know all these foreign languages. What was happening? They were praying in tongues, and the Holy Spirit took it from their mouth in as tongues, and by the time it got to their ears, it was in their foreign language. It'd be like, Carly, begin to pray in German. No way. She knows she can't do it. But if God needed her to, she could pray in tongues. By the time it gets to the German's ear, God can begin to speak and preach the gospel to her in the German tongue. That's what was happening there. God didn't just give them a supernatural, God was giving Carly the supernatural ability to speak in German all of a sudden. No, she's just praying in the Spirit. And then God's taking that and manifesting it to whatever language needed to happen there that day. Dude, that is awesome. Hallelujah. I thank God that I can speak all the languages of the earth when the Lord needs me to, but only because I can pray in tongues and he can take it and make it whatever he wants it to be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, well, let's get into this. I want to talk about something a little bit along with this, but a little bit more. All right. So here's a question. So we know that we need to be filled, right? But what about once you've been filled? What then? What about being refilled? Does the Bible teach us that we need to be refilled or just that we need to be filled just one time? Now, I'm going to show you today in Scripture. How many know that around here we have a question? Where's the Scripture, right? It's in the Bible. I'm going to show you. But first, we're going to start it off Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 5, and starting in verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, don't be drunk with wine because this will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why do you do that? Because there's comparisons. Let's look at some of the comparisons. I'm not going to list them all, I'm sure, but I'm going to list some. Here's some of the comparisons. What happens when a person gets drunk? They get happy. Right, don't they? I mean, you get somebody lit up on some alcohol, and they just get really happy, and they're just like, hey. And they're just like, oh, this is life is so good, you know. And they're drunk. What happened? Them getting drunk removes them. Now, I'm not condoning this or advocating for you to be drinking alcoholic drinks. I don't think you should. But what I am saying is the Scriptures puts a comparison in there to help us see that you don't need the alcohol because you got the Holy Ghost. Why are some of the reasons people drink? Well, it just relaxes me. Come on, spend time with the Holy Ghost. You want to talk about relaxed. You want to talk about having peace. The Holy Spirit, He is the Spirit of peace. He is the Spirit of joy. He is the happiness that you're looking for. Come on. Right? So people get happy. Here's another thing. When people are drunk, they laugh at anything. They see somebody fall off of a table. And it's laughing and laughing. And like, dude, what you laughing at? That's so funny. See, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you can look at problems and laugh. Did you know that scripture? The Bible says at famine and destruction, God laughs. Not because he thinks it's funny, because he knows the devil's defeated. And I've got something much better. Devil, you think you can do that? Watch this. See, God was Southern. God was the first one that said, watch this. Oh, yeah, never mind. You have to be from the South to get that joke. Okay. Roger, you with me? All right, brother. Thank you. All right. This is another thing that happens when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. It makes timid people bold. It makes timid people bold. You may be kind of quiet, shy. You're just a little timid. You don't really want to. How do I go out and say something about somebody? Talk to people about Jesus. How can I go out and be a witness and share Jesus with people? Come on, you get filled with the Holy Ghost and it makes you bold. Let me remind you, I used to be an extreme introvert. For some of you, you're sitting there like, that's not even possible. Dude, we can't even get you to shut up. Right? But I used to be an extreme introvert until I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? And then the Lord began to break me out of that shell. And man, I'll talk to anybody. Come on, man. Hallelujah. God is good. When you spend time getting filled with the Holy Spirit, let me put it this way, just for example, say, when you spend time getting drunk on the Holy Spirit, right, you're getting inebriated by the Holy Spirit, right? It makes you bold. It makes you happy. It helps you to be relaxed. In other words, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not worried about all the other problems. Say, oh, man, they're just stressing out, man. How is that? They're born again, Spirit-filled. They ain't Spirit-filled right now. They're not Spirit-filled right now because Spirit-filled people, not saying they've never been, but Spirit-filled people don't worry. Spirit-filled people don't stress. I said people that are presently filled with the Spirit, they're not dealing with all that. They're not in fear. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He removes all the fear. You fully trust God when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Rick Renner gives this example. He says, back in the day, you know, when they would make wine or whatever, or people needed something to drink, they kept it in these big old massive, I don't know what you call those things, those big old water jugs. They're like huge, right? It's like a miniature, like a portable, not even really portable, but it's just a big old thing of water. Well, you can't pick that up, put it on your back, and carry that around everywhere you want to go. So what they would do, they would take these, what did we call them last night? Wineskins. Yeah, so they had these wineskins. So they would take the wineskin, and they would dip it down, and they would fill up the wineskin to take that with them. But, you know, throughout the day, it's hot and whatever, and they're drinking it and drinking. Well, what's happening when they're drinking it? It's being depleted. So they get down to empty. They're, like, having to go back and fill it up again. And that's what happens with us. Smith Wigglesworth says, why do people need to get filled with the Holy Spirit again? He said, because they leak. People leak. And I'm going to show you here in just a moment where Peter leaked after being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show you how he leaked. And it's not a defect. It's just a fact. It's really, he just used the power that he had, but it needed to be replenished. See, that's where we as believers got to understand we need to be replenished every morning. Every morning we need to be replenished. But let's talk about another couple things about drunk people and compared to being filled with the Holy Spirit. It gives you the courage to say and do things that you were always afraid to say or do before. Man, I want to start that business, but I'm afraid. Or man, I want to tell people about Jesus, but I'm afraid. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, then it gives you the courage to step out in faith with things maybe you wouldn't have stepped out all on your own. It gives you the courage to tell somebody how much Jesus has impacted your life when you might not have done that before. Amen? Here's another one, and this will be the last one I talk about. And like I said, there's other things, but I'm just not going to mention them all. Here's the other thing that I have is you become really nice and friendly. People that are drunk, they're just really nice and friendly. Well, I know you got the ones that are like turning into total jerks, but we're comparing it to being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't become a total jerk. So you may be a jerk, but if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it'll take all that jerkiness out of you. Right? It'll take all that meanness out of you because the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of love. Right? And the Spirit of kindness and all this kind of wonderful stuff. So, but generally, drunk people, they become really nice and really friendly, right? And here's another one. They become really generous. They become really generous, you know. But anyways, And I'm not going to have you turn there for time's sake, but over in Jude verse 20, it says this. It says, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith, keeping yourself in the love of God. Praying in the Holy Spirit helps you to stay, keep your love walk straight. How many know there's a lot of stuff out here that can test your love walk? You know, the Bible says that our faith works by love. So when you're not walking in love, you can pray all you want to, but if you're not walking in love, you're hindering what God's wanting to do in your life and do for you because you've chosen not to walk in love. So, but he gave us the Holy Spirit so we can spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit, and it builds us up. That word builds up, it's the same word where they get putting a charger on a dead car battery, and it boosts it. It jolts it with power. Well, that's what spending time in the Holy Spirit does, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith, keeping yourself in the love of God. Amen. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 1. Let's flip back a page. Let's go to verse 12. Now, watch this. I want to point out to you. Now, here's John and Peter and John. It says in verse, I'm in Ephesians. Okay, let me go back to Acts. Oh, here we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. It says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem, just like Jesus told them to. Remember, we were just reading in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But then now here in verse 12, it says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of about a half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. That's why it's called the upper room. It was a big upper room in this house, and that's where they went and met. 500 people were invited to come, and only 120 showed up. And that's the problem. A lot of people are invited to receive the Holy Spirit, but just a few do. You know, and but it's kind of like their loss, but our gain. Hallelujah. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm happy to be, right? And hopefully you are, and if not, you can be. But here, look at this. He says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem, da, 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 and then when they arrived, they went to the upstairs room or the house where they were staying. All right? Here are the names of those who were present. I'm doing this just to give you some proof. All right? Here are the names of those who were present. Peter, John, and it goes on and on and on. But Peter and John's the two that I want you to see that were in the upper room. So when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost happened, Peter and John were in that upper room. They were part of the 120 that were there. And they're part of the ones that experienced the wind that came through, and they experienced the cloven tongues of fire. In fact, it was later on that, you know, people are talking about some, get this, some people thought they were just drunk, so not everybody heard them in their language. Some people just heard noise, and they thought it was some bunch of drunk people just talking gibberish. Well, not even, you know, some people, when they're drunk and they're talking, you can't even make out a word they're saying. That's what some people thought it was. And so Peter steps up, filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter steps up and says, listen, everybody, they are not drunk as you suppose, it being the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it is not the time to be drinking. They are not drunk as you suppose, but they have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Right? So there's Peter right there. He's been filled. Him and John were in the upper room. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? All right? Now go over to Acts chapter 4. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4. Now let's look at this. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted. I'm not going to read all this. You know, you can go back and read it for yourself. This is where they start, the religious leaders begin to attack them. Remember, Acts chapter 3 is where they prayed for the guy that was lame at the temple, and he got healed, and the religious leaders are all up in a fuss. They're all freaked out, and their feathers are all messed up, right? They're just like kind of freaked out by, oh my gosh, how did they do this? What are we going to do with these people? The people just love it. A miracle was just done. How can we argue with this? All this kind of stuff. So they just came out of this mess with them. And so they're on trial, basically. They bring Peter and John in and begin to interrogate them. Why they did this? How did this happen? Oh my gosh. Why were they saying how this happened? Because it never happened for them. And they had been to cemetery, whatever it's called. They'd already been to the, you know, and studied for all these years to be the religious leader they are, but none of this stuff ever happened for them, so they're wanting to know how did this happen, right? So here it is in verse, where do I got you? Let's go, okay, let's start in verse 5. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem, Annas and the high priest was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest, right? They brought in the two disciples, Peter and John, they brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Now watch this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, now stop. I want to point something out. The Lord helped me to find this week. This is awesome. Then I've read over this passage a gazillion times, and I always thought it meant then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit because he got filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But that's not what this word means. What this word means is then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled comes from the Greek tense that means in that moment, at that precise time, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. So yes, he was filled on the day of Pentecost, but here now here he is a day or so later, and he's being attacked by all these religious leaders, and then so they're asking him all these questions, and then it says, then Peter filled, Greek tense, at this precise moment. So Peter was actually refilled. See, there is scriptural precedence that we need to be refilled. You can't just receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit one time, pray in your prayer language just one time, and that's good. No, Peter was filled again in that precise moment. Isn't that powerful? At that precise moment, right then, right there, he was filled again. Now go to Acts chapter 4, verse 23. You can go back and read the full story of all this. They're coming out and they're scolding them, and Peter and John is like, who do you think you are, basically? Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling people about what we have seen and heard and all this kind of stuff. And then in verse 21, it says, then the council threatened them further. So how is Peter and John's filling being leaked? Because pressure's being put on them. Things are happening that's make them... they're having to really depend on the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, it makes a demand. It's like when you put fuel in your car and you drive away and you push that accelerator, you're making a demand on the fuel you just put in there. And if you drive around town and come back, you'll still have room to put more fuel because there's a demand being made on the fuel that was put in there in the first place. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, even in the morning, you get up, Father, I just thank you for a fresh filling today. And you spend some time praying in the Holy Spirit, and you go out and you go do some business, or you go to work, or you even being around your family sometimes, often, that can make a demand on the power that was already put in you that morning. So we need to be filled again. Now watch this. I want to show you another one. In verse 23... as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God, O sovereign Lord, a creator of heaven and earth. See, one of the things that you need to remember is when you're under trial, run to your people. Don't run from God, run to God. Don't run to your secular friends for advice. Get around people that know how to pray. Get around people that's been filled with the Holy Spirit that can pray with you and encourage you and build you up. So they ran to their own people. And so all these people, they began to pray. Now jump down to verse 29. It says, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31, watch this. This is awesome. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all, who was there? The believers, but who was amongst all those believers? Peter and John. So in three chapters, Peter and John have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter was filled again when they were questioning him. And then here, he comes back to his people, and they were all filled again. They were all filled again. After this manner, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. I can't stress to you how important it is to not only be filled, but to be refilled. to be refilled. Every morning. Heather can tell you the morning. Heather can tell you the days when I didn't get refilled on that morning. Because I'm not as sharp. Meaning, not that I'm dumb, but I'm my love walk is not as tight. Now, I'm not going around screaming, yelling, calling her names and all, but I'm just kind of edgy. I haven't been in there in the presence of God to praying in the Holy Ghost, build myself up on my holy faith, to keep myself in the love of God. I can get a little edgy. You know, I'm sure Virgie can tell you the same thing when I'm around the office. If I have, you know, I've just got a little bit more of an edge, right? So important. Why? Because I started leaking. I got filled the day before, but throughout the day, I leaked, right? My wine skin started running dry, and I need to get back to the well and fill it up again. I need to get back to the well and fill it up again. See, we all have the luxury of having, most of us, I think everybody here, unless you're way out in the boonies somewhere where there's no power and water, but most of us, if not all of us, have the luxury of running water. But see, there was a day when houses didn't have running water. That's why they had to go out to the outhouse to take care of some business, right? And that's why they had to go down to the well and get the water that they needed and come back. It ran out. They needed more. They had to go back. To meet the needs that was required, they had to go back and get more water. To meet the needs that is required of us, we've got to go back and get filled again. Every morning, Holy Spirit, and I've been starting doing that, man, even more and more. Holy Spirit, fill me afresh today. Fill me anew. Oh, I thank you. I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, not really the baptism. I've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But Lord, give me a fresh filling. Give me a fresh filling. And I just spend time praying in the Holy Spirit. And man, can I tell a difference when I've actually spent, when I've made that trip to the well. Man, there is a big difference, man. My hope is stronger. My faith is stronger. I believe God. I trust God when things come up. But when I haven't been spending time going to the well and I'm living on a dry wineskin, that thing is, it's not only dry, man, there's no dampness on the inside of it. It's as parched and cracked, and that's what I feel like. I'm parched and cracked, you know. But when I realize, oh, I go back, and the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is when you go back to that well, and you go back, and you spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, He just fills that wineskin. He takes away all that brittleness. He takes away all that roughness, all that dryness, and I all of a sudden feel refreshed. Again, you know, the Bible says refreshing times come from the presence of the Lord. Don't try to live your life not one day without spending time getting filled again. You know, we in the day of Pentecost, we usually preach on, come on, let's get filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, we can help you to be receive that today. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But today, I'm the Lord. This week, the Lord really are impressed. Well, not just this week. The Lord's been impressing this upon me for a few weeks now in preparation for today is that, come on, the importance of not only being filled, but the importance of staying filled. Now, over here, I'm not going to have you turn back there. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18, where it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The part that I forgot to tell you was this. It says, be filled. That word be in the Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, means be being filled. Be being filled. In other words, there's constantly be being filled. Constantly being refreshed, right? So we have to go back to the well. Hey, man, there's times I've had to go back to the well a couple of times in a day. Three times, maybe. It depends on how much stuff I'm dealing. Oh, I leave that appointment. Thank you, Lord, for filling me again. Lord, that one just really sucked it all out of me. Lord, man, that person was really complaining. I really need some. Amen. But it helps me to stay in love for the next one. Right? Just driving through town just really starts tapping on my wineskin. And it's like, oh, randala baka. Oh, Lord. Father, the interpretation is have that car move over. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Help them to go home and stay home. No, I'm just kidding. But no, there are things, just things in life. It draws on us. It begins to, but we got to get back and get filled again. I spend a lot of my time when I'm driving around. I spend a lot of my time. I don't listen to the radio. I don't listen to music. I love music, but I don't listen to music. I'm praying in the spirit. You know, when Virgie can tell you, and different ones around here, I'm walking around here sometimes, and not every time. It's not like Virgie can't come and ask me a question or talk to me. Oh, man, all he does is answers me in tongues. No, I don't do that. But often I'm just walking around just under kind of a low. I'm constantly just kind of praying in my prayer language. Why? Staying built up, and I'm also listening. That's also the way we hear from God. Man, you start getting hooked up and praying in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord really begins to speak to you, can really help you. Rick Renner says that, and he's got a lot of books, and all of his books, he got just about every one of them, the concept for that book came while he was spending time praying in the Spirit. And the Lord would just drop something in his spirit about a book, and he'd begin to look, and then he began to pray more in the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit helped him to write the book, right? So the Holy Spirit's there to help us. Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away. If I go away, I'm going to send another one just like me, except he's not going to walk with you. He's going to walk in you. Amen? He's going to walk in you. He is the helper. I'm going to send you another one, and he is going to help you. The Bible calls him a helper, a counselor. So many times we spend time running from counselor to counselor to counselor, but you haven't spent one moment with the Holy Ghost. Maybe if you spent more time with the Holy Spirit, you would not spend so much time with other counselors. Now, the Bible does say there's safety in the presence of many counselors. We're not talking about if you need some help, you know, big decisions or whatever. That's one thing. But come on, man. I'm not going to trust a human counselor when I haven't even run to God and run to spend time with the Holy Spirit. He's going to help me. Now, you know, I'm not saying that that's all wrong in and of itself, but I will tell you it's wrong for you to put all your trust and reliance in a human being when you haven't even spent time with God. I will tell you that's wrong. You know, it's so important for us to spend time praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen.